Good to see everybody here. We're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. I know you might not have been expecting me, but you're stuck with me. First Kings chapter 18. We'll read in verse 37. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read something from James. James chapter 5 verse 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want to talk a little bit today about a desire to be heard. I want to look at Elijah, because sometimes we look at Elijah and boy, he did some incredible things. He really did. And we think, man, he must have been like a superhuman, right? I mean, amazing. This special man. And James says he was a man that was just like us. He had the same things. He went through the same things we go through. He was the same. He was like us. But he prayed. He prayed to a God that could answer. And I want to look at the way he prayed, and I just want to think about what shows in his prayer. And I think it comes down to having a desire to be heard. And it just made me think whenever I read this, and we'll talk about the story here, but let's go ahead and start in verse 37. Look at what he says here as he's praying. He says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." And that's the phrase that caught my attention. He says, "Hear me, Lord, hear me." He wanted to be heard by God. He wanted to be heard by God. And with everything else you would see, you know, you would have expected him to kind of come in a sense and with the strength and the faith that he had to be saying, "Oh Lord, I know you're going to hear me." But that's not what he says. He's actually pleading, he's begging, he's hoping, he's really desiring that the Lord would hear him at this instance. And boy, I think that would change when we come to prayer thinking this way. Do we truly have a desire to be heard of God? Do we really want God to hear us? That's a good question. And I think that genuine desire for God to hear you will be evident. If you really want God to hear you, it is going to manifest itself in you. It's going to be something you can notice. It's going to be something you can see. I think it will manifest itself in your heart. I think it will manifest itself in the way you pray. And I think it will manifest itself in your life, in the way you live. If you desire God to hear you, it will show up in these areas. And Elijah, he was just an ordinary man. But he desired to be heard by an extraordinary God. This is what Elijah did. And what I want to talk about today isn't a formula. I don't want to be misunderstood. It's not a formula. It's not like there's a three-step process for you to get all your prayers answered. No, there is no process like that. It's not like a formula and a transaction between God. God, look, when you pray, God might answer yes. He might answer no. Maybe he'll answer, just wait. But God is going to do what he wants to do. It's not like you can manipulate him. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some type of a prayer that you can always get answered. You know, when you pray faithfully, it doesn't mean you're going to get everything you ask. That's just how it is. You're not going to get everything as you ask. And it's not a way to force an answer from God. But the goal today that I'm looking at is to take an inward look at ourselves, look at yourself and ask this question. Don't ask, do I pray or do I believe in prayer? I want you to ask, do I truly desire God to hear me? Do I want God to hear me? And that's what I want to ask. Because if you want God to hear you, it will be evident. First off, it will be evident in your heart. It will be evident in a right heart before God. If you want God to hear you, you want to come before God with a right heart. This is where it'll show itself. Look, if you really desire God to hear you, you should care about the condition your heart is in. Because God cares about the condition of your heart. And so it should matter to you. A right heart before God should be seeking His glory, not your own. A right heart before God should be seeking His will, not your own. And so when you come before God, if you truly desire God to hear you, you should approach God with a right heart. And this is what we see, one thing we see here in 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at what he says there. He says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." He says, "Hear me, so that they'll know you." He wasn't praying for something to happen for him. It wasn't about his reputation. It wasn't about his vindication. It wasn't about, you know, and remember, so the build up here in First Kings chapter 18 is that the people of Israel had gone astray, mainly because they were led by a king and a queen who worshipped the god Baal. And they and all of their priests drove the children of Israel away from God, and they served Baal. And so Elijah, he confronts them and he says, "Hey, let's put an end to this. If Baal is God, then follow him. But if the Lord is God, then follow him." And so what they do, right? You know the story. They build an altar and they put a bullock on it, and they say, "Call down that God may answer with fire from heaven." Well, the prophets of Baal, they spend all their time doing what they were trying to do, doing what they were wanting to do. They were hurting themselves. It says they were cutting themselves so much that blood was gushing out. It was a whole thing that they did. And the god Baal never answered. But then what Elijah does is Elijah says, "Hear me, Lord." After he drenched it with water, the altar and everything, he says, "Hear me, Lord, hear me." And he asks this, he says, "That they may know that thou art the Lord God." See, that's what he was truly interested in. Elijah was interested that they would get right with God. He was interested in God's glory. He was interested in God being made known and God being made manifest. And this is the way we should approach God. If we want Him to truly listen to us, to hear us, we should be concerned with the things He's concerned with. We should have a right heart before God. A right heart before God is that they would know Him. And we gotta wonder, we gotta ask ourselves, are we truly seeking God's glory? Are we just seeking the outcome that we desire? The outcome that we want? And when we come to God in prayer, this should be something that concerns us. This should be something that we think about. How is our heart? What is our heart looking for? What do we desire truly? We don't want to just simply get our way. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for God to accomplish His goals in our life. And that's what we should do when we come before God. And that's what I mean by a right heart. A right heart will be evident whenever you're looking for God to hear you. And also what we see here is a right heart that seeks restoration. A right heart that seeks restoration. See, it's hard to think that you can come before God and not care about how you are before God, about your relationship with God, about things that are hindering your prayers towards God, and think that you can just come to God and not care about how your heart is before Him. That's wrong. That's not right to think. You should, if you desire to be heard of God, you should desire to be right with God when you come before Him. Look at what it says in chapter 18, verse 1. And this is really interesting. Chapter 18, verse 1, it says, after it hasn't rained for a long time, right? It says, "It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. You see what it says? It says, God told Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab, and I'm going to send rain upon the earth. You know what Elijah does? You would expect Elijah just to come up to Ahab and say, Ahab, rain's coming. But no. Elijah, the first thing he does is he seeks to get this people right with God. The first thing that Elijah prays for isn't for rain from heaven. The first thing Elijah prays for is fire to come down from heaven. Isn't that strange? God, what he said, his promise, he said, I'm going to send rain. And the first thing that Elijah asks for isn't rain, it's fire. Why? Because he knew the importance of being right with God. Before he was going to ask God to bring rain to give them what they needed, he was going to pray that they would be restored to God because that's what they needed in reality. That's what he does. He comes, the promise of rain is given, but he didn't go straightly to pray for rain. He actually confronted their sin first. In verse 18, it says that Ahab, when the king saw him, he says, you're the one that troubles Israel. And Elijah says, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. See, he recognized there is a problem between you and God. There's a problem between y'all and God, and that needs to be fixed before we can come and pray for rain. He wanted to have a right heart before God. There needed to be restoration before he was going to pray for rain. He says, how long, Halchi? And then he repaired the altar of the Lord. He asks for fire to come down from heaven. God gives fire from heaven. And then the people recognize that the Lord is God. And they shouted, the Lord, he is God, he is God. Then he destroys the false worship. And it isn't until all of that happens that he then asks for rain in verses 42 and 44. Until he got them right with God. Now, I'm not saying that there's no way for you to ever come before God without a right heart, or that God will never answer you if you don't have a good heart before him. The truth is, God is so merciful to us. Sometimes, man, we're messed up and we're in a wrong place. We're in a wrong attitude. We even come with the wrong heart, and God will still hear us sometimes. And that's just the mercy of God. And again, I'm not looking at this to present a way for you to somehow get God to do what you want him to do. No. This is presented for you to consider the way you approach God. When you really desire God to hear you, you're going to seek to have a right heart before him. Elijah was concerned about getting the people right before God, before he could even ask the blessing of God for rain. And that's what happened. So let's turn to Psalm 66 and just consider a few things. Psalm 66. If you and I really desire that God would hear us, then we would be worried about things that would hinder us from being heard. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard, the psalmist is just recognizing something here. He's recognizing, if I am holding, and cherishing, maybe holding on to sin, if I'm regarding sin in my heart, if I am just kind of in love with my sin and don't want to let go of it, he says, the Lord's not going to hear me. And so he's saying you need to really look at your heart when you come before God, because God does care about your heart. And if you really want God to hear you, you might consider your heart before you come to God, or when you're coming to God. You know, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 talks about the way you treat your wife can be a hindrance to your prayers. The way you treat your wife might be a hindrance to your prayers. You, God actually cares about things that you do. And it might hinder you when you try to come before Him. Proverbs 28:9. We can read that one too. Proverbs 28:9. This says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." So he that turneth his ear away from the law, the one that doesn't want to listen to the Lord, his prayers will be an abomination. It kind of makes sense, right? It kind of fits. You want God's ear? Well, shouldn't you then give God your ear?
Absolutely.
If God's speaking to you and you just disregard what He says, you don't care about what He tells you, you don't care about anything that He's trying to get across to you, why would you and I expect that He's going to want to hear what we have to say? You come to Him expecting Him to give you His ear. Well, why don't you give Him yours? And so that's an important thing. When we consider coming to God in prayer, we should consider our heart and to see if there's something needs to be fixed in our heart. Elijah knew, I can't just go up and straightway ask for rain. He knew these people need to get right with God, and so I'm going to confront sin, and I'm going to show them who God is, and they're going to get right with God, and then I'm going to go to God and ask for rain. And maybe that's what we need in our life too. Maybe we should confront our own selves and think, boy, I can't just expect to come before God and bring all the petitions, all these things that I want or need. Maybe I need to get right before God. Maybe God wants something from us that isn't what we think we need. Maybe we're really concerned about the consequences. We're concerned about our circumstances, and that's what we're focused on. Maybe, just maybe, God is actually looking at something a little deeper and He's worried about something else. In other words, we think we need rain. We think we need something else. We think we need all these other things. But maybe God is seeing that you need a restoration in your fellowship with Him. And that's more important. That's more important than all those other things. That's more important than rain. That's more important. He wants you to get right with Him. And that may be what He's seeing. And so, if you see that there's something that's interfering between you and God, wouldn't it make sense to get rid of it? I mean, if we have a metal roof and our phone signal doesn't work because of that metal roof, then if we're going to keep complaining about the phone signal, wouldn't it make sense to get rid of the metal roof? But we keep on saying, well, why doesn't God want to hear me? God doesn't listen to me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't, God doesn't, God doesn't. But what if there's something there that you have that is interfering between you and God?
Right.
And you should be expected to take care of that, get that fixed. So do I want God or do I just want rain? These people, they needed rain. Yes, they did. But at that moment, they didn't care about God. And what they really needed to get fixed was their relationship with God. And after that, Elijah was able to pray for rain, and rain came. So that order was really interesting, how Elijah didn't straightway go ask for rain. He sought to restore Israel to God and then asked for rain. And that's important. And so, if we truly desire God to hear us, to listen to us, as I think we all do, I think we all would say, yeah, I really want God to listen to me, then it would be evident in our life, and it would be evident in our heart, and it will be evident in our prayer. And we see that evidence here in Elijah's prayer. He prayed with earnestness. And that's what James 5:17 says, right? It says that he prayed earnestly. It said he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and then he prayed again that it would rain. Look at this earnest prayer of Elijah. Let's turn to verse 42. Verse 42, after he took and he slew all the priests of Baal, it says he told Ahab to go up and eat and drink, like, you know, have some food, because he's going to go pray for rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. He cast himself upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. He was really, really into this prayer. He prayed earnestly. In other words, he really wanted God to hear him, and he really believed what he was asking for. He prayed earnestly. It wasn't just a routine. It wasn't just empty words. He was really concerned about what he was doing, what he was asking. In other words, we should be concerned about how focused we are in what we're asking. Does it really interest you? Now again, not saying that you never have time to do a quick passing prayer or something like that. You can pray. Sometimes you can pray while you're driving and all of that. But do you ever take time aside to actually sincerely get down before God and say, Lord, I want you to hear me on this petition that I have, where he sees that you really are interested in what you're praying for? God wants to see that. God wants to see earnestness. Are you really seeking God in this? It doesn't mean you're necessarily loud or very emotional and all of this other stuff, but it means that you really are thinking about, caring about, you mean what you're praying for. You're serious about it. It's a serious desire that produces serious asking. You think about if you lost your kid, right? You'd go to the police and say, well, if you have time, you know, can you kind of look for my kid when y'all have the opportunity? That's not how you would ask if your kid was lost. If your kid is lost, you're going to run to the police and say, please help me find my child. I need y'all to go search. I need y'all to get everybody on this. Right? There's a difference there. There's a recognition when somebody truly has a desire, somebody really is about what they're seeking, versus when they're not really that into it. And I think sometimes our prayers might just reflect how much we aren't really that interested in what we're asking for. And we need to be earnest in prayer. We need to truly, truly have some things that we think, man, this is a desire. This is what I truly think I should be looking for and seeking for. And I'm going to come to God and really ask for it. And let's do something about it. Let's really seek God in certain matters. This would be a way of praying earnestly. And so prayer should, even though there's some casual requests and we can all make those, but if you really want to be heard of God, it would show that you're going to take some time and really seek after Him. That's earnest prayer, and it will reflect how much you want God to hear you. Not only did he pray earnestly, our earnestly didn't only show itself in how real it was and how fervent it was, but it also showed itself that he prayed with persistence. Look at what it says there in chapter 42. I'm sorry, in chapter 18, verse 42 and 43, he put his face down upon the earth and his face between his knees and said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. And this happened 7 times. He says, I'm gonna pray. And so he prays, he gets down and he's earnestly, fervently praying, and he says, go look. He's on the top of Mount Carmel, he says, go look towards the sea. And the servant goes, and he comes back. I don't know how long this all took. I don't know how long. But apparently, Ahab the king was able to go wherever he was going. He was able to eat and drink and have a little meal and feast where he was, until actually the prayer was answered. But he did this 7 times where he said, do you see anything? And the servant said, I don't see anything. There's nothing. And he says, go again. And he kept on praying. And he did that 7 times. Well, what happens? Well, whenever the first time the Lord says, no, I'm not going to do that. What happens whenever you pray for something and you ask for something and it doesn't get answered and you don't see any fruit, you don't see any answer, you don't see what you're expecting to see? You just give up. You just say, well, too bad. I guess the Lord doesn't want it. And you stop praying? Listen, he actually had a promise of God, right? We saw that in the first part of the chapter. The very first verse, it says that God had promised. He said, I am going to send rain upon the earth. And yet when he prayed, he didn't see anything. And he kept on going. He said, go again, go again. And this should be a lesson to us. This should be something for us to learn. When you pray, don't only pray earnestly and fervently, pray with persistence. Even if you don't see the answer right away, go again. Go to the Lord again. Ask again. Keep on asking. Remember, Jesus said that he taught them some things so that they would learn to pray always, that they would always be praying. And this was Jesus. Jesus was fervently and consistently and persistently in prayer. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 11 about the prayer of the importunity, right? The just doing it again and again and again. And because of persistence, he says, the Lord will give you what you're asking for. He wants to see you persist. He wants to see you continue in that prayer. And if that prayer truly is that important to you, won't you keep praying? Won't you keep asking? Won't you keep going to God? If we truly want God to hear us, it would show in that we would persistently come to God asking Him for it. If we give up on our prayer, it shows that we don't truly, really desire God to hear us. Because it would show. It would show in how persistent you are with your prayer. Whenever he prayed for fire to come down from heaven, back a little bit. Again, this is all happening in the same time frame. It's all the same thing. He said in verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord," right? That this may people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And it says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice." It was something that happened immediately. Something right away. It happened. And then the same chapter, a little while later, he asks and it doesn't happen the first time. It doesn't happen the second time. It doesn't happen the third time. He does it 7 times. And then finally, he says, what do you see? He says, a little cloud like the hand of a man right over there. And he says, oh boy, it's coming. He says, go tell Ahab to get on his chariot and go because you don't want him to get stuck. A lot of rain's coming. He persisted in prayer. Because if you really want God to hear you, you're not going to give up so easily. So don't give up so easily. Don't give up. When something's important, right? An important phone call. If something is urgent, right? And you call, or like with my wife, you know, I usually don't answer the first time, but if I get 4 or 5 missed calls, I know something's really important. And so I'll answer. Bad example, but you know, that's how it happens. If something's really important, you're going to call and call again because you know how important it is. And I mean, that's just how it is. So if something's important to you and you want God to hear you, are you not going to persist in your prayer? You should. It would be expected. The other one is that if you want God to hear you, you're not only going to notice the difference in your heart. You're not only going to notice that your heart is going to want to be right with God. Not only are you going to notice that in prayer, you're going to be a little more earnest. You're going to be more persistent in prayer. But if you really desire God to hear you, it's going to also be evident in your life, in the way you live, day to day. It will be evident because if you want God to hear you, then you're going to be living differently. And that's what we see in Elijah also. So we go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, and again, isn't it interesting that God sent a promise? He promised that rain was going to come, and yet the promise didn't negate the prayer, or the promise didn't eliminate the need to pray. God promised rain. He just said, He said, go talk to Ahab. I'm going to send rain. And he knew it. He knew it was going to happen. It was a promise of God. And yet he still prayed for it. He still went and I just, to me that blows my mind. How many times do we sit around thinking, oh, I know God will. I know God wants to. I know God will. I know. And so we don't even pray for these things. We're not persistent in prayer. We're not effectual in prayer. The promise actually makes us be less of these things than more. There's something wrong about that. The promise of God shouldn't eliminate the need for you to pray. The promise of God should encourage you to pray more, more earnestly and more fervently because you received a promise of God. Amen. And this, I think, sometimes affects our mind. Sometimes, listen, you want God to save somebody? Pray for them. Continue to pray for them. Don't give up on prayer. You don't think, well, you know, God wants people to be saved, and if they want to get saved, you know, that's between them and the Lord. Keep praying. Don't just negate your prayer life because you've got some promises from God. You know God is here to build His church. Well, don't you want to pray for that? Yes, you should pray for that. All those things that you have promises for, God even coming back. Isn't this the prayer we see in the Bible by the apostles? Even so, come Lord Jesus. They wanted the Lord to come. And there's a promise that He is going to come. But shouldn't you be praying for it to happen? Yes. Pray, pray, pray. Even if you have a promise. Especially if you have a promise. Those promises should encourage the Christians to pray. I think that's a great principle. Elijah prayed for what God had already promised he would do. He still prayed. Don't let the promises of God stop you from praying what you know God is going to do. And you should still pray. But not only did it affect his prayer and the way he prayed and why he prayed, how he prayed, but it affected his actions, affected the things that he did. His faith affected the way that he did things. Him expecting or desiring God to hear him changed the way that he lived, changed the things that he did. Remember, what he did, he confronted Ahab. That was no easy task. Ahab wanted him dead. Jezebel wanted him dead. They were trying to kill him everywhere. In fact, Obadiah, another man that had hid prophets, they had hid 100 prophets. He says, Elijah, what are you doing to me? You're wanting me to tell Ahab that you're going to be here and meet him, but then you're not going to come and he's going to kill me because he's been looking for you and you haven't shown up yet. But Elijah, because he knew the promise and because he wanted God to hear him, he was willing to go confront Ahab as he should have. He was willing to confront Ahab. He was willing to challenge Baal. He was willing to challenge 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the grove. That's 850 prophets that one man was willing to stand up against. That's pretty impressive. That's allowing God's promise, that's allowing God's word, that's allowing what God has said to really guide what you do. And that's what he had. The whole nation was watching. You know what happens in verse 34? I'll read verse 33. It says, and he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels full with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. He asked for them to fill barrels up, 4 barrels of water. Remember, they're in a drought. They don't have any water. I mean, it hasn't rained for 3 years. And he says, oh, all that water you got there, throw it on the altar. Boy, if this didn't work, he was going to be in trouble. He's wasting water. And then he says, do it again. And he does that 3 times. That means there's 12 barrels of water that were poured onto the altar that he was expecting God was going to hear him and he was going to answer him. Because what he believed, what he wanted for God to hear him, was going to change the way he acted. And he had confidence in that God was going to hear him. And the sacrifice was soaked. I mean, it was drenched. And the Bible says that whenever it happened, it soaked up all of it. It licked up all the water. Amen. God answered. But do you see that that his faith affected his actions? He acted on what he believed. And you know, real faith is gonna affect your life. And usually that happens before you get an answer from God. Real faith is gonna test you before you get the answer sometimes. God is gonna say, get up and go to another place. And Abraham is going to have to say, okay, I'll go by faith, even though I haven't seen all the answers yet. But faith is going to affect your life. And you have to live according to faith. We say things like, oh, we're praying for souls. I really am. I'm firmly praying for souls. But that doesn't make sense if we're not going out and witnessing. If we don't go out and preach, if we don't go out and pass tracts, if we're not witnessing to the people that we work with, if we're not talking to people on the street, what do you mean? Shouldn't you, if you have a desire for God to hear you, whenever it's concerning saving souls, shouldn't you be letting that affect your life and the things that you do? You pray for God to guide your children, but you don't spend any time teaching them and helping them and trying to present them the right way to go? That doesn't make sense. You see, the things that you expect and that you know that God will be willing to hear you and listen to you for should change your life, should have an effect on the things that you do. This is what happens. Faith will affect the actions. The fire that came down, it showed that God was faithful. It really did. It showed that God was faithful to Elijah when Elijah prayed for something. And the water that Elijah had poured on showed that Elijah had faith. And listen, if you are witnessing and if you are preaching and if you are doing things, then boy, you can confidently come to God and say, Lord, please hear me. Hear me. And that's living by faith. Because whenever you truly desire God to hear you, it will be evident in the way you live. It's going to change the way you live. Faith, and I do want to say, faith isn't demonstrating, like by creating unnecessary risks that God is going to take care of you. You know, that's not faith. You don't drive 100 miles an hour and say, Lord, protect me. You know, no, you're not trying to somehow put yourself at more risk to allow God to show how strong He is and how He can protect you. It's not challenging God and trying to twist His arm like, oh Lord, now I've put myself in a position, in a situation where you have to answer me. I quit my job and I did this and I did that and now Lord, you have to provide for me because I believe in you. No, don't do dumb, unnecessary risks just to prove a point that you have faith. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about demonstrating that what God has said actually becomes real enough for you to live out. You believe what God has said and you're willing to live by it. You're willing to make decisions by what you believe God said, by what you see in God, by the faithfulness that He's shown you. You're willing to take the steps and do what's right. Not that you're trying to challenge God and twist His arm. And so, yes, Elias was a man subject to like passions. Well, I'm going to turn to that again. That is James. James chapter 5. Couple things here. James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, I think God really wants our heart to be right when we come before Him. And if you truly want God to hear you, you'll be concerned about your heart being right before Him also. That's why I think many times the prayers of many men in the Bible start with confession. They confess their sins because they're wanting to get right before God. They're saying, Lord, I come before you and I want you to hear me, but I know I'm not worthy of you to hear me. But Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Lord, please make in me a right heart and allow me to be restored unto you. I desire to be close to you. Get yourself right with God. Because God cares about your heart and it will manifest. What kind of a heart are you coming before God with? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Be right with God. I think that's important. We should strive to be right with God, and when we come before Him, let's do it with effectual fervent. Effectual fervent prayer. Fervent. How about we get fervent about our prayers? How about our prayers show some earnestness? Some real desire. Maybe you need to start getting on your knees. Maybe you need to start putting your face between your knees while you're on the floor just to say, hey, I am really serious about this. And you need to show yourself that you really are serious about this. Maybe God's looking for an effectual, fervent prayer that's persistent, that continues. Even when the answer seems like it's a no, or even when there is no answer, even when you don't see the results that you're expecting, will you continue in your prayer? I think God is expecting it. And it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He wasn't any different than you. He wasn't incredibly special. He was a man that had similar problems as you. You know, he got discouraged also. He got discouraged to the point where he cried out, oh, just take my life. He got discouraged. But he was desirous of God to hear him when he prayed. And he had faith in this God. He had faith in God. And when he prayed, it stopped raining for 3 years, 3.5 years. And when he prayed again, and he was persistent in it, the rain came. You can also. You can live by the faith that you have in God. You can live and build your life upon what you believe about God. And then you can come to Him and ask Him, Lord, please hear me. Hear me, O Lord. I have a desire for you to hear me. I have a desire to be heard. And that's the way we should come before God.
Amen.
God is faithful and God is good, and God does things that we don't even understand, and we don't know how God is working everything out. But we should expect to come to God in a certain way if we expect Him to hear us.
Amen.
If we want God's ear, we should give Him our ear.
Amen.
And we should desire to live by faith.
Amen.
And this is what I was seeing in First Kings chapter 18 concerning Elijah. And you know, I wanted to change my approach to prayer, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I hope you can analyze your coming to God in prayer also. We're going to stop for a brief break, and then we'll start again at 11 o'clock.